As we continue our series on Be Still, Be Still, we have learned wonderful truths from the theme verse from Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. Shall we all read that verse once again, please? Doesn't matter which language, which English version that you have. Let us open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. Shall we all read this together, please? It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." Please read it in Telugu or any other language or Urdu. Urakundudi nene devudanani telusukunadi. In Hindi it says, "Chup ho jao. Mahi parameshwar hum." It says to be able to quieten ourselves. Urakundudi urko. It's very important for us to be able to recognize this important small term, small phrase. It says, "Be still, be still." The Lord has been reminding us through His scriptures how important it is for us to learn these wonderful truths. And last week, when we started this series, we learned about one specific element from this verse itself. And what is that? Be still and know. That was the sermon that we have meditated upon. Be still and know. It was very important for us to recognize the importance of not only being still. A lot of people tend to be still but unable to reflect upon what exactly they need to do once they be still, once they are still. To know who God is. Who God is for us. He is a refuge. He is our strength. He is the one who is a river. He is the one who is our rest. And many things that we have learned last week. Today we are going to learn another element of this particular series, Be Still. And for that, let's turn our Bibles. Or for that matter, let's look at what is projected here from 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. This I have taken from the New American Standard Bible. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 3. Shall we all read this together as it is projected? "Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Be still.'" Last week, the sermon was titled, "Be Still and Know." And this week, the sermon is titled, "Know and Be Still." It's just a reverse of it. Be still and know. We are very well aware of that particular word. Sometimes we have it in our houses as well. Wonderful. Be still and know. But here we read something that is uniquely mentioned by Elisha in 2 Kings. And in the 2 Kings, he says, "Yes, I know. Be still." In your translation, probably it might say, "Hold your peace." Or some other translation, it says, "Keep quiet." Let us read this in Hindi all together, please. Aur Bethel vasi bhavishyat vakton ke chele Elisha ke paas aakar kehne laga, "Kya tujhe malum hai ki aaj Yehovah tere swami ko tere upar se utha lene par hai?" Usne kaha, "Haan, mujhe bhi ya malum hai." Tum chup raho. Be quiet. Be still. I know. Yes, I know. Be still. Let us read this in Telugu now. Betelulo unna pravaktala sishulu Elisha yoddaku vachi, "Nedu Yehova ni yoddanundi ni guruvunu paramunaku tisukoni povunani ni verugutuva?" Ani Elisha adugaga, athadu, "Nenu erugutunu. Meeru urukondudanenu." Knowing and then being still. There is something that we can learn from these lessons. It's very important. Maybe you have read this portion. Maybe you have never read this. But may the Lord speak to us freshly. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon me. His word is like a fresh manna. Not the old, good old manna that is stale. But it is a fresh word of God. Maybe you have heard this particular story. Maybe you know the context, but you never focused on the small phrase, "Yes, I know, be still." The context of this particular verse is, let's read verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. What is the story? This is when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was a man of God, a prophet of God. If you read 1 Kings, the last few chapters from 19, 20, 21, 22, it talks about how Elijah not only was a prophet of God, but he set up the second level leadership of being able to include Elisha in his ministry. And he included Elisha in his ministry. Elisha was going along with Elijah. Wonderful works that Elijah was doing. And God wonderfully used both these prophets. But the time had come, my dear. The time had come where it says, and it came to pass at the right time, God's timing, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I just wanted to show you the map. As I keep mentioning about two seas, there's a Dead Sea on the south, and there's a Sea of Galilee on the north, and the river that connects the Sea of Galilee with the Dead Sea is the Jordan River. Never ever forget that geography, because that is mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And most of the stories that we are learning from the scriptures are around this area, to the left or right or the east or west or up or north or south of this area. So if you see here, there is a place called Gilgal. The word Gilgal means rolling. Let us see that from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. So here we see that these people, when they came out of the land of Egypt, they went through the wilderness experience for 40 years under the leadership of Moses. And now under the leadership of Joshua, just like Moses and Joshua, there are here Elijah and Elisha, one after the other. And here we notice that Joshua was bringing these people out. And when they came to this place called Gilgal, it says here in verse 8 onwards, let me read, verse 7 onwards. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Verse 9, notice this carefully as I read. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Please read it in any other language, please. Verse 9. Gilgal. Gilgal. That's what it says. That's how it is pronounced. And here we notice the word Gilgal means rolled. This is a place where we need to experience spiritually our sins being rolled away. There's a song also, rolled away, every burden of my sin, rolled away. God has removed the reproach of Egypt in terms of the bondage to sin. The place of Gilgal reminds us that God has rolled away our sins. At the cross of Jesus Christ, when we came to him, Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary in order to set our sins away, to roll away our sins. Just like that pilgrim in the story of Pilgrim's Progress, how he was carrying the burden of sin on his shoulders and he went up to the cross of Calvary, and the moment he has seen Jesus and he accepted Jesus Christ, all the sin burden rolled away. Rolled away, my dear. That is the experience you and I need to have. But that is not the place that you will be there forever. From Gilgal, you need to go the next step. And what is the next step? Back to 2 Kings. Keep your bookmark in 2 Kings, because that is the context that we are learning. And verse 2. Verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. First verse, Gilgal. Second verse, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, stay here. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. From Gilgal to Bethel. What is this Bethel? Now you see the arrow down here. To Bethel. What was the experience at Bethel? What does Bethel mean? Bethel means Beth-El. Beth Elohim. Bayet Elohim means the house of God. The presence of God. If you read Genesis chapter 35, it talks about how Jacob had an encounter with God. And when God had spoken to him, we don't need to look at that scriptures, but you know that. If you want, you can read it in your when you go back home. But Genesis chapter 35 talks about Bethel, the house of God. Bethel means the house of God, God's house, the presence of God. The moment you have your sins rolled away, you need to go to the next step of Bethel experience to be able to be fellowshipping with God's people, my dear. Fellowshipping with God's people. Gilgal, there is another thing that happened at Gilgal. Not only were the reproach rolled away, but they were circumcised. You know what circumcision in the New Testament is? The equivalent to circumcision in the New Testament is baptism. Baptism to be able to have that experience of not only the salvation and rolling away of our sins, but to be baptized to tell others that Christ Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. Gilgal experience. Maybe you are still living in Gilgal or never have you reached Gilgal. I do not know. Maybe you know personally where you are. Are you at Gilgal? If not, come to Gilgal, my dear. Experience God's rolling away of the reproach, rolling away of our sinful nature, and also get circumcised, or in other words, get baptized. Don't delay that. Why are you delaying? If you have the experience of salvation, be baptized. There is nothing that should prevent you. It's part and parcel of the things that you do. Somebody who is engaged wants to get married. You cannot say for years together that I will get married. No. The time should come as quickly as possible they want to get married. Similarly, the moment you are saved, as quickly as possible, take that decision to witness in water baptism. I'm challenging you, everyone sitting here. If you are not saved, be saved. If you are saved and not baptized, be baptized. Gilgal experience. Bethel. Bethel is house of God. You need to be part of a local church, home church. Can you call a church as your home church? We are glad that we are all here being part of this Zion church. You and I should be able to have that wonderful experience with the house of God. To be able to worship God. To be able to meditate on His word. To be able to witness unto Him. Three W's. That is what the motto of our Zion church is. Worship, word, and witness. It is very essential for us to be able to be part of children of God in the house of God, experiencing the presence of God. Thirdly, let us look at that in verse 4. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord lives, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Gilgal to Bethel. Bethel to Jericho. You know the story of Jericho. A lot of children also know it. What is that they're learning? Joshua fought the battle at Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. They kept on falling. You know the story. If you want to know the story, read the book of Joshua. Let us look at that. Joshua chapter 6. Yes, thank you, brother. So in this particular chapter, it talks about how God used the people of Israel to be able to win over the land of Jericho, not through their own strength, but it is only through the obedience to God. God told them to blow the trumpets 7 times, and on the 7th day, 7 times they had to go around, and the walls kept falling off by themselves. God's ways are marvelous ways. And Jericho reminds us of victory in our lives. We go through various struggles in our lives, my dear. We go through various struggles in our lives. We need to overcome those struggles in our lives. As we fellowship with God's people, as we go through the Gilgal experience personally, as we go through the Bethel experience together as a fellowship, we will be able to face the Jericho experience in our lives to overcome the enemies that are ahead of us. Remember that. Jericho means a place of fragrance. You know what happened in Luke chapter 19? When Jesus went into the place called Jericho, he saw a man looking, sitting on a sycamore tree, and that man's name was Zacchaeus. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down today. I'm going to stay in your house today." And Zacchaeus took him into his house, into his heart. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Jericho. To be able to overcome all the temptations in our lives, how we were trying to live our lives, we need to have Jericho experience in terms of victory. Victory experience you and I need to have. And Zacchaeus was going through those troubled times. He was unable to take care of his profession called tax collector. And it was so normal for a tax collector to keep on taking money and taking bribes and many other things, to fiddle with the things. Maybe whatever is your profession or whatever is your resume, we try to fiddle with it many times. And God is reminding us it is not about changing anything of yourselves, but trust in me. Trust in me. It is not about your strength, not by might, not by power, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So let us learn these important principles of the Jericho experience. And then what happened? And then in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan, Jordan River." And he says again, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. And the two went on from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And now, you see, after Jericho comes the Jordan River. And what happened? We see here that in verse 7, 50 men of his sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Verse 8, notice this carefully. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and they too went over on dry ground. Did you know that there was another story? Not only the Joshua story when the Jordan River was parted, but also in the Elijah and Elisha story that the Jordan River got parted. Jordan River. In order to be able to recognize, Jordan means descender, that thing that is coming down. From the Sea of Galilee, the water is coming down to the Dead Sea. Jordan River is the one that is a flowing river. And everything that happens on either side of the rivers is a flush ground and a fertile ground because of the continuous flow. It is not stagnant water. It is a flowing water. One day you need to go into the Dead Sea or the end of life. But as you go through it, God is the one who will take care of us. Jordan experience. They went through the water, the separation off from the world, and to be able to be attached towards God, holiness, sanctification, those are essential factors in our lives. Gilgal experience, the salvation experience. House of God, Bethel experience, the fellowship experience. Unless and until we are together, we cannot be able to stand strong. Try to be yourself for quite some time. You will know that you will not be strong enough, because there is power in a church that comes together, in a healthy church for that matter, if I want to say that. Be part of a healthy church that would enable us, and I'm thankful to God that God is helping us as a local church to grow strong in Him. And then in Jordan River, they cross the Jordan River, they go on to the other side. That is the context. I know you've been waiting to fill in the paper. On the bottom part of this sermon notes, you can note down this Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan experience. In all these experiences, until and unless you have that personal experience of Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan, you will not be able to really appreciate the know and be still part of the Word of God. Know and be still. Verse 1. It says, "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." The Lord would take up Elijah by a whirlwind. When you experience this salvation of God, rolled away the sin, this baptism, and the church experience of worshiping, meditating on the Word of God, witnessing, and to be able to overcome the temptations and the trials in our lives, and to also be separated and to be able to recognize that one day I'm going to leave this world, but how am I going to prepare myself? All these experiences that are happening, one thing, Elijah and Elisha were together, working together. Elisha was learning how Elijah was being able to live for the glory of God, doing wondrous things for the glory of God. But the time had come. He got to know that the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. He got to know something. Knowing something and to be able to acting upon it is very difficult. Sometimes not knowing how to handle is one thing. But you know that something is going to happen. You know that something is going to happen in your life because of this, because of what has been revealed unto you. Maybe some deadly disease that has occurred to one of your loved ones, or something terrible in terms of your job situation, or something terrible in terms of your whatever is the surrounding political situation, or whatever be it ahead of us. We got to know it. What do we do? What do you do? You got to know something. What do you do? The thing that you and I should learn is how to know and still be still. How to know? I got to know. I got to know that this is going to happen. Somehow through some sources, or God revealed unto me that this is going to happen. How am I going to take it up? The first thing is receive. First thing, note it down, receive. What is this receive? Receiving. Note it down also that as part of receive, it is know and accept God's will. Knowing God's will is one thing. But the moment you understand that this is God's will in our lives, we should learn to accept or receive God's will. Lord, I just received this news that this is what is going to happen in my life. Momentarily, what is that we are going to do? You and I should learn something in this. First and foremost, the moment you get to know that something is going to happen in your life or in your circle of influence life, in your personal life, your family life, or church life, or whatever be it, the moment you get to know God's will and accept God's will. The prayer that God, Jesus Christ, taught to his disciples, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many times, we change that thy will to my will. Say, Lord, I want this to happen. Please, Lord, please do something about it. Turn the things around. Do it. My will be done. As if we are twisting the arm of God and say, Lord, can you please do this? The moment you recognize that God is doing something in your life, remember one thing, my dear, to receive or accept God's will. Lord, thy will be done in my life. Your will is the best thing that happens in my life. And that is how we should be able to learn to move forward in our lives. And the second thing that you and I should do is not only to receive or know and accept. First of all, you should know whether it is God's will or not. Many times we get confused about it. Lord, how do I know whether it is your will or not? To accept it first, I should know. Is this really your will? May I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, the more you spend time with a person, you will know the likes and dislikes of that person. Husbands and wives, or parents and children, friends, brothers or sisters, whatever is the kind of relationship it is, the more you spend time with that person, you will know them. And God is expecting us to spend more time in his word. Learn from his scriptures. Meditate on his word to know his will. The more we spend time in the word of God, the more we will be able to know the will of God. And the more we know the will of God, God will enable us to accept his will in our lives. Many times, separation is a very difficult thing in our lives. Many times, loss in our, whether it is monetary loss or job loss or whatever be it, may be a difficult thing in our lives. But let me tell you, the first and foremost thing is, I take it as the Lord's will in my life. Receive it. Secondly, that we should learn is to respond. Respond. How do I respond to the situation? The moment I receive or accept the will of God in my life, my perspective will be different? How will I respond in terms of my conversation with others? My response, sometimes we are so unhappy that things did not happen the way we wanted to happen. So we tend to react very badly. And we have to be cautious about it in terms of our response first. Response in our conversation. What did Elisha do? The moment he got to know that Elijah will be taken into heaven, he did not leave him. He clung on to him and said, "My dear brother, I want to be with you. I will not see verse 2. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Be together. Husbands and wives, in troubled times, when you get to know that something terrible is happening, do not leave each other. Cling on to each other. Brothers or sisters or whatever be the situation that you are going through in your life, remember one thing, cling on to God and God's people. And the way in which, no matter what kind of trials it is, though it is very painful in our lives, let me tell you, as the Lord lives and as long as you live, I will not leave you. Learn this. What is our response to people? Oh, I want to get away from here. You keep on crying all the time, worrying about all of it. Yes, humanly speaking, separation or loss causes us to be able to go through that emotional stress and strain in our lives. But spiritually speaking, Elisha had to take over something. Now Elijah, he was always behind Elijah. Now Elijah is going to be taken off. What is he going to do? He said, "Till as long as you live, I will not leave you. As long as you live, I will not leave you." Conversation with others. How do you converse with people? And then the sons of prophets in verse 3, at Bethel, they said, "Did you know that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" I don't know the kind of tone in which they must have been telling him. There are people who keep on talking to us like that. No, though we know, they keep on reminding us, "Do you know that this is happening to you? Do you know that this is going to happen to you?" They keep on pestering, so much so that this man, Elisha, could lose his patience. "Did you know that you're going to lose job? Did you know that you're going to die? Did you know that this is going to happen to you?" Many kind of situations that people talk it out. What is your response? The moment you accept God's will in your life, remember one thing, that God is intending us to respond properly with people. "Yes, I know. Be still." That's okay. "Yes, I know. Be still. I am still. I want you to be still also." You also got to know, right? Yes, that is fine. Be still. Not my words, my dear. Biblically, I'm saying. "Yes, I know. Be still." Don't try to react terribly. And that is what the third one is. What is my reaction? How am I going to react to this? I have to be patiently. Hold on to your peace. 2 Kings chapter 2. These are the things that we are learning. The moment you know, you need to be still, my dear. Your actions and reactions reflect who you are. When you get to know some terrible things that are happening in your life or my life or anybody's life, you need to accept God's will. Many times we don't start with the first step. We don't want to accept God's will. "I don't think so. I cannot take this as God's will in my life." We keep striving against all those. But let me tell you, God has a plan in our lives. And God will fulfill his plan in our lives. All he's doing is he's teaching us lessons to accept his will in our lives. He has a bigger plan. I do not know. I cannot tell that. If I can keep telling the bigger plan, then how am I different from what God has in plan for you? I'm also a human being. I don't have enough understanding of the whole big pictures. But God has it. So let us accept God's will. Let us converse with people in such a manner that "I am with you. Brother, that's okay. Don't worry about it." To be able to cling on, husbands and wives, cling on to each other during tough times in your lives. And then we notice that as part of a reaction, we need to wait till the end result. Don't give up. Cling on. "I will not leave you. I will not leave you." That's what he said in verse 2 and verse 4 and verse 6. He kept on saying, "I will not leave you." Many times people tend to say, "Oh, I'm going through tough times in my life. Oh, Elijah is leaving. I don't know what to do. I cannot talk to him. I'm angry on God. And many kind of reactions that we keep doing it. But let me tell you, wait till the end result. Keep on going from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan. And when you react, there is a result to it. Receive, respond, react. And the final result, let us see what happened in conclusion. Elijah, verse 9. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, and what shall I do for you before I be taken from you?" And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. In terms of wonderful way to experience the Spirit of God, in other words, Lord, I want to know you more, as much as I know you. I want to be still and to be able to experience you doubly, double portion of blessing. And Elisha said in verse 10, and he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so." It came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up with a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent him into pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. Verse 13. And that fell on him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And the same mantle that fell on him, he took it and hid it on the waters of Jordan, and it parted. There was no more Elijah after that. But Elijah experienced the double spirit. In what way? Somebody counted this. And they said, Elijah, the kind of miracles that he performed, there were 14. But Elisha, the number of miracles were 28, as recorded in the Bible. 14 miracles, 28 miracles. In terms of God using Elisha much more, the latter will be far better than the former. God has great plans, my dear. The result is, what is the result? Double portion. Double portion. I get reminded of the story of Job. Read Job chapter 1. Oh, he lost everything. He got to know. People came on telling, oh, your cattle died. Oh, your property got lost. Oh, your children died. Terrible situation if you read Job 1. When he got to know, what did Job do? Job chapter 1. Let us see that. Job chapter 1. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. That is what knowing and be still is. Maybe you are going through Job experience in your life. Something you want, but you're not getting. Something you have, but you're losing. I do not know what situation that you're going through in your life. But remember one thing. Job responded in verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what our response should be. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say that? In all your situations in our lives, the moment we know that something is happening, something has happened, something will happen in our lives, you know. Be still and say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Read the last chapter of Job. He had double blessings. His properties were doubled. His children who died came back. And in terms of those wonderful blessings, double portion of blessings. My dear brothers and sisters, God has his plan for us. When we go through tough times in our lives, separation especially, it is very difficult, but God has a better plan. And let us learn these important lessons from this: know and be still. There is no better example than Jesus Christ. He knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. Imagine somebody closest to you, he was going to betray you. Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. Jesus' reactions, his response was no different with anyone else. Same reactions, but the way in which he took it. He was still, he knew, but he was still. He knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. Yet he gave him the charge of taking care of the treasury. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. Yet he said, I'm going to pray for you. He knew that he's going to give his life. He was 100% God, 100% man. He knew he was going to die on the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, if you read Matthew chapter 26, he keeps on going back after talking to the disciples. Can't you wait for 1 hour? He goes back and says, Father, if this is thy will, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, thy will be done. He was ready to accept the will of God in his life, to be able to give his life for the sake of the whole world. What a wonderful Jesus we have. In remembrance of that, we are going to take part in the table that is set before us. But I'm asking you, my dear brother or sister, are you in Gilgal? If not, come to Gilgal. Experience the rolling away of your sins. If you are not baptized, take the decision. Maybe it is today that you finally had to make a decision. Come and speak. We will make the arrangements for baptism. If you are not born again, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you do not have a home church, local church, join us. Cling on to God's people. That is what makes you stronger. And you will be able to face the Jerichos in your life and bring down the walls of Jericho. And you will experience, you will be fully prepared to part into the Jordan and pass the Jordan onto the promised land. God wants to give us that experience. Don't you want that experience, my dear? Know and be still. May the Lord bless this word.